after many years of being separated because of the hateration his brothers had against him. They threw him into that pit for his demise and sold him into slavery. They didn't know that God always wins. And when they were reunited, Joseph didn't say, "I'm gonna get you back, I'm gonna slit your throat." He didn't say, "How could you?" He said, "What you meant for evil." Do I even have half a church? What you meant for evil, God turned that thing around for my good. Can you slap your neighbor a high five and say, "My God always wins"? Psalms 139. Psalms 139. I want to take you to another dimension this morning. You're not ready to go, but I'm going to drag you kicking and screaming. I am. I used to tell this church, I'll drag you kicking and screaming into the destinies of God. I used to say that. I mean, I preached that so much the first year, then my dragger got broke. Because y'all are heavy. And I declared and determined that I was going to pick that thing back up. Because there's some things that cannot be broken. There's some doors that you cannot go into unless a word propels you. You didn't hear what I said? Unless a word propels you. So this word is a propelling force in your life. And it's entitled, "What I'm Made Of." You are more complicated than you look. Psalms 139. I would encourage you to read this in your own devotional time for your own education, edification, and spiritual building. I would encourage you to take a closer look at the Psalms in particular, especially in the morning when it's quiet. As a time of reflection and worship and praise, I read the Psalms every morning before I start my day. You can pick one and it'll be all good. Yeah, I can't get out. You can pick one psalm and it'll be all good. And you got a long list to choose from. There's 150 of them. And when you get to the 150th song, it says, "Praise the Lord. Praise him in the sanctuary." I ain't got no church. Praise him in his... I ain't going to start. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. So forth and so on. I ain't going to start with that right there. Psalms 139. Psalms 139. We're going to get ourselves down to the 14th verse. But I am inclined to read verses 1 through 14 this morning so that you can have the proper context of what we're saying. The Bible declares, Psalms 139, beginning at verse 1, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. And it is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you there. But if I choose to make my bed in hell, you there also. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be the light. Even the night, I wish I had just five folk. Even the night shall be the light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but to you the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Man, I could preach right there. Verse 13, for you formed my inward parts and covered me in my mother's womb. Here's our focus text, verse 14. So I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening, makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide us under soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of our heart. Father, speak a word that changes everything. A word that causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son. A word that transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive that word. I know in our ears that we're able to hear it. And Lord, the most important thing this morning is that you have your way. Do whatever it is you want to do. This is your house. And we are your people. And we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, you agree. Shout amen. Amen. Before you take your seat, turn to your neighbor. Come on. Smile and show them everything you're made of. Smile as bright as you can. And ask them a question. What am I made of? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As I begin to look at the text and begin to understand the picture that David is trying to paint of the knowledge he has of this dynamic and intimate relationship he has with God, it is shaping his perspective on life. And the reason it is shaping his perspective on life is because these are the years where David has determined in his heart that he was going to face everything and rise. That he was not going to allow the things that he wrestled with in the night seasons of his life to dictate to him who he was going to be ultimately. This is why David was a man after God's own heart, because he didn't play around with the thing. He let God know and understand, I messed up in some areas of my life, but I'm willing to say, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Not only did he have this intimate and powerful relationship with God that would help shape his perspective on life, he knew that he was not alone. He knew that he could rejoice and draw upon God's infinite wisdom and understanding. And he also knew that he could never run, if you will, from God, from his righteousness, from his justice, or from his power. And therefore, he was able, if you will, to ponder the benefits of this intimate relationship with God. And it's David in this text that is exploring the omniscience and omnipotence and omnipresence of the Father. He knows every thought and every word in every deed that you would ever do. But he directs us no matter where we choose to go. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't go anywhere by accident. You're going to get me in just a moment. Even in your wrong choices, somehow in God's dynamic ways, is working out for your good the ability for you to meet the right person at the right time, at the right moment, that takes you into a different pathway that ultimately leads you to where he was trying to get you to be in the first place. Look at your neighbor and say, you go nowhere by accident, baby. You go nowhere by accident. And wherever you are, God can use you right there, right there. I'm preaching to somebody, because in this society, in the world in which we live today, we're all in a rush to get somewhere. And in that rush, we don't take the time to search the dynamics of our relationship and walk with God and have the audacity and the ability to face every issue along the way and choose to rise up. Many of us, oftentimes, as we take this journey trying to get to wherever we're trying to get to, begin to realize there are some inequities on the inside of us that we have to wrestle with. Things that happened in our past, mindsets that we can't get set free from, dilemmas that still delay us, all types of problems that causes us to ponder on the issues at hand rather than on the promises of God, which are yes and amen. And as we continue down this pathway, we either decide at some moment to face everything we are afraid of and rise above every circumstance, or give into that fear, give into that anxiety, and have a life filled with depression and oppression. Because the moment you allow fear to set into your life, that spirit of oppression will begin to wreak havoc over every area of your life. So some days you're up, you got energy. Some days you don't want to get out of the bed. Some days, my God, you just want to put the cover over your head and not talk to nobody. Some days you got words for everybody else. Some days you got to praise. Some days, my God, you don't feel like you're even saved. Some days you don't mind praying and interceding. But some days you're asking God, why am I doing all this? Because it seems as though nothing ever happens when I pray or when I praise. Look at your neighbor and say, the devil is a liar. For the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound or disciplined mind. Look at your neighbor and say, you got the power within yourself to shut down the spirit of anxiety and oppression and depression. You got the power on the inside of yourself to tell the devil, not today, Jack. I'm set on a course and a path of a destiny that is deeper than how I feel. I'm set on a course and a destiny that's propelled by the power of the living God. And he that has begun a good work in me, I wish I had a church, shall bring it to completion. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm going to make it. Come hell or high water, I'm going to get to where God said I'm supposed to be. My God, I didn't receive Jesus Christ to sit here and try to figure out if I'm going to make it or if I'm not going to make it. I'm going to make it. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And I got anybody in this room that's determined in the depths of their soul to look at themselves and say, you're going to make it today. Stir up the gift that lies on the inside of you. Shake your spirit and say, wake up, arise and shine, for your light has come. Y'all sit down, let me preach this thing. And so when we begin to discover that God knows where we're going, that he knows every situation, and that in him no situation is hopeless or helpless, that he formed every complex detail of our bodies, our minds, and our spirits, that God constantly thinks of us and is concerned with every detail of our lives, and that he searches our hearts so that our motives can be purified and correct, so that as he moves us into what he has purposed for our lives, we don't mess it up. Huh. If we took the scientific approach, if you will, I'm going to preach it how I feel it. If we took the scientific approach, if you will, and began to take you back to when God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and you begin to understand how you were intricately made, and you begin to realize that God did such a work on the inside of a human being, that there should be no question mark as to how awesome you really are. If I could break it down to you scientifically, you have to realize your body is doing a quadrillion different things all at one time. All while you're sitting here right now, if we just took your brain, I'm not talking about your heart. I'm not talking about the millions of miles of nerve endings that are on the inside of you. I'm not talking about your pupils. That's doing a whole nother thing that's off the chain. I'm not talking about any of those other things. I'm just talking about your mind. If we just took your brain that is performing 10 quadrillion calculations per second. You can't even do that math. I know you can't because I got a brain cramp trying to do it myself. Using only 10 watts of power. In other words, it would take a computer to do the same thing your mind does every day of every minute of every second. It would take an Apple computer or a Dell computer or whatever computer you want to put together. And it would take it to require a gigawatt of power that is produced by a nuclear power plant to pull off the same performance that your mind is doing at this very moment. In order for somebody to manufacture how your mind calculates its decision, it's got to connect to a nuclear power source just to get the power to do what your brain does every day. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm a bad individual. Yes, I am. I know you're looking at me saying, I don't get all of that. You got to get that, because it's not just the fact that you are surrounded by the miraculous. The Bible says the heavens are full of his glory, and we can look at the stars in the sky and the sun, of which, my God, we begin to revolve around as a planet and begin to discuss the glory and the majesty of God. But baby, you don't even have to look on the macro level. You can look under the microscopic and see that you're not just surrounded by miracles. You are a talking, walking, living, breathing, miraculous thing. Slap your neighbor, high five, and say, you're looking at a miracle. Ah, God, you don't even have to look at my inward parts. I can tell you my testimony to suggest to you that I'm a walking miracle, because I shouldn't even be here at this very moment. I should be lost out of my mind. I should be sitting in a corner somewhere. I feel like preaching to somebody in here. Slap your neighbor and say, if I begin to tell you of the goodness of Jesus, we might just break out in a praise session, because he's been too good to me. I wish I had 10 folk in the room that had a testimony that God has done something in your life. He healed your body. He saved your soul. He pulled you out of the muck and the miry clay. Set your feet upon the rock and establish. You're going, I can't get no help in here. Slap your name and say, let's have some church. Let's have some church. Come on, look at him and say, God's been good to me. I can't tell it all, sweetheart. My God, if I begin to testify of the goodness of Jesus, I might run around this church and lose my mind. Can I have church by myself when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me? My very soul cries out, hallelujah. I ain't got no church in here. Somebody shout hallelujah for your pastor. I wish I had a church this morning. He's been too good to me. Hallelujah. When you take a glimpse of the microscopic and you keep looking under the microscope, things get even a little bit more interesting. Now, if you don't shout on this, I don't know what's wrong with you. So touch your neighbor and say, get prepped, get ready for a shout. Just prep yourself. Just look at your neighbor and say, excuse me. I might take off on this one. If you keep looking under the microscope and investigate how you were made, and we're just dealing with the brain, not the heart, not any of the other organs, just the brain. And you keep looking at the microscope. Watch this now. They get a little bit more interesting. If your personal, I know I'm speaking in science code, but you can get this. If your personal genome sequence was written out longhand, meaning if somebody took the DNA which made you and sat down and wrote it out longhand, it would be 3 billion word books. So it would be a book of 3 billion words. The King James Bible has 783,137 words in it. 700,000, right? 783,137 words. So your genetic code is the equivalent of 4,000 Bibles. I can tell you ain't get that. If somebody took you and put you into words, you would be the equivalent of 4,000 Bibles. Okay. Well, what's that got to do with anything, Pastor? That means if you couldn't get it written down and somebody wanted to read you verbally and put you in an audio book, it would take them a century to put you into words. So it would take somebody 100 years to describe how awesome you are. I'm gonna do my run for myself because I'm a bad individual. I don't know what you are. But it's gonna take you 100 years to figure out how complex God made me, how detailed He made me. And you let one word from one person derail how you feel about yourself. The devil is a liar. God, I'm preaching to somebody there. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You let some nappy-headed Negro tell you you wasn't something special. The devil is a liar. Can I get a sister snap and say, you better figure it out? If ladies were smart, you would really shout on this because y'all was the better idea. Y'all ain't said nothing. You better figure it out. Somebody gonna go home to their husband. You better figure it out. Slap your neighbor and say, you're looking at a masterpiece, baby. Come on, I wish I had a church in this room. Somebody needs to declare that for themselves. For the doctor said you were sick, you're a masterpiece. The family member said you wasn't going to be anything, you're a masterpiece. The man told you you wasn't nothing, you are a masterpiece. Slap your neighbor and say, you're a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. Oh, God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout it again. I'm a masterpiece. Come on, I feel years being taken off your shoulders as you declare, I'm a masterpiece. I feel years of darkness being pulled off of you, of the words of oppression and depression being put on you, being lifted off of you as you declare, I'm a masterpiece.
Hallelujah. Oh, strongholds are being broken right now. Come on, tell the devil, I'm a masterpiece. You tried to kill me when I was 10, but I'm a masterpiece. You tried to abuse me when I was 5, but I'm a masterpiece. Oh, it's on and popping up in here. It's on and popping up in here. I'm a masterpiece. Part of being a masterpiece is you have to understand that you were created by a master. And this is what David is declaring. You know me better than I know myself. You know my sitting down, my rising up. I can't think a thought that you don't know. Look at your name and say, omniscience. Come on. That means God is all knowing. You can't hide a thought from God. You can't hide nothing that you do. I know it's heavy and you try to, but it's like it's just not like he can't see you. To the infinite, all finites are equal. Your dimension is nothing to him. He created it. Oh, God. So he knows you. So why are you playing around with the thing? Acting like he don't know. It's like when he comes to Adam and says, where are you? Mm-hmm. When he comes to Cain and says, where's your brother? I don't know. He said he was going to the store and I don't know. It's like a parent talking to their child and asking them a question that they already know the answer to. Just want to see if you're going to lie. Slap your name and say, stop lying to yourself. God, no. I didn't come in the house of God like everything cool. Bless you. Oh, shut up. Your fake self, sit down. Know you hurt, know you broken, know you dealing with stuff, know you going through, know you got to get a praise out, know you need to hear a word, know you need to lay prostrate on the altar, know you got to run if you got to run, shout if you got to shout, dance if you got to dance. I'm preaching to somebody up in here. I want to come in the house of God talking about, sit down with your fake self. You have a master that knows everything there is to know about you. More importantly, has you on his mind consistently. So much so that when you choose in your insanity to walk away from his marvelous working hand, he shows up in the darkest of places where you thought you could escape him. He's still sitting right there, said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I told you I would be with you to the end. So when you chose to make your bed in hell, you chose to get it in, you chose to get turned up. I'm preaching to somebody in here, and you did it after a Sunday service. I'm preaching to somebody up in here, and you chose to walk away from him. He was sitting right there cheesing. Come on back. I'm not letting you go. I got too much invested in you. I made you fearfully. You are a masterpiece, and you're going to be everything I called you to be. Come on back. Look at your name and say, I'm back, I'm back, I'm back. I lost my mind for a second. I'm preaching to somebody, but I'm back. Give me 5 minutes, which means 10. I'll set you free. We have a master that knows everything there is to know about our lives. And when we choose to even hide in the darkness, the Bible says the darkness and the light are the same to him. Ah, God, it's amazing because in the body of Christ, we differentiate between light and dark, but God does not.
I'm preaching better than y'all shout. God looks at the night and the darkness. He says, they're all the same to me. Hi, God, because I can cause the light to shine out of the darkness. And so whatever I'm looking at, it is light. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. And so even if you choose to sit in the darkness of fear and the darkness of depression, I'm looking at the light. I'm looking at what you're going to be, not what you are at this very moment. And I will call you what you're going to be, not what you are. That's why Saul is Paul, and that's why I feel like preaching to somebody in here. That's why Abram is Abraham, and that's why Jacob is Israel. That's why your name and your nature gets changed when you encounter God, because he'll change everything about your life. You have a master that knows everything there is to know about you, and as you look at that microscope, just your mind, and you take your mind, for example, of how you're fearfully and wonderfully made and how you're calculating thoughts and doing all the things that you do, and you begin to understand the scientific ramifications of it all, you have to learn then that almost like a hard drive with a computer, your mind have infected files, if you will, and those files are filled with irrational fears and misconceptions that keep you operating the way, my God, that keep you from operating the way you were designed to operate. And if those fears and misconceptions aren't uninstalled, if you will, they're going to undermine everything it is that you try to do. And so you have to understand that half of learning is unlearning. And so the fear that you have and the anxiety that you feel and the condition that you're in that causes you not to face anything but to run and hide is a learned process. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to unlearn fear today, and I'm going to learn faith like I never learned it before. Come on, shake somebody's hand like you're about to shake it off and say, today I'm unlearning fear. Yes, I am, and gonna learn faith like I've never learned it before. When you look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, and you begin to look at the teachings of Jesus, you'll begin to understand that most of what he was trying to do was to get them to unlearn how they thought about things. The challenge of Jesus Christ and the challenge that he faced with was the primary goal of trying to reverse engineer a religious mind. And to reverse engineer a religious mind is very hard, because you do not come to the Bible naked. In other words, you don't come to the Bible unclothed. When you come to the Word of God, you have your own traditions, your own values, your own family background, your own upbringing. And you bring all of that to the Word of God. You bring all of that to your Christian faith. When you said Jesus is my Savior, yes, your spirit was regenerated, but your mind has to learn how to be renewed. And so this is why Paul comes along and says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. Why? A living sacrifice. Why? Because you got to give God all of you so that he can deal with your mind. Slap your neighbor and say, I need him to deal with my mind. Huh, God? And when you do that, he says, this is your reasonable act of worship. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Meaning, I got to learn some stuff, but I also got to unlearn some stuff. I got to figure out what God has for me, and I have to unlearn what life has taught me about this situation. Life taught me that I'm always going to be down. I'm always going to be out. But the Bible says that I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. So I have to unlearn my losing streak and learn how to be victorious in Jesus Christ. Slap your neighbor, high five, and say, you are not a loser. Come on here. You are victorious in Jesus Christ, because there is not a battle he has not won. Jesus had to teach them how to think differently. And so he would repeat over and over again words like this. When he was on the Sermon on the Mount, he would say, you have heard that it was said, dot, dot, dot. But I tell you this, dot, dot, dot. You don't hear what I'm saying. He would have to let them know, this is what you were taught, but this is what I'm trying to show you. He was uninstalling the old covenant from their mind. He was teaching them there's a new and better way of living, baby. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in anxiety. You don't have to live in depression. You don't have to live in defeat. There is a better way.
You have heard it said, don't do thus and so. You've heard it said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. You've heard it said, this, that, and the other. And as he begins to say this, he would then bring a whole nother principle for spiritual growth so that they will begin to understand there is a better way. Look at your neighbor and say, there is a better way. My God. So he then says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you are a masterpiece, then you have to realize you have the capacity of having a new mind. And the mind of Christ gives you the ability to every day have a new mind. Look at your neighbor and say, I need a new mind. Come on here. My God. The reason I need a new mind is because God is trying to take me to a new dimension. And I can't go to the new dimension with an old mindset. I can't walk through the open door. I'm prophesying now and you're missing me. I can't walk through the open door that God has opened for me with this old mentality of things are going to go wrong. Slap your neighbor because I feel a word about to propel you and say, this time it's going to go right. I just got to make up in my mind to believe and trust the Lord. Come on, slap your neighbor and say, this go around is going to go right. God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Slap your name and say, this time it's going to go right. The only way it's going to go right is for you to face your fears. And when you face your fears, unlearning requires that you do more than just rewire your brain or reverse engineer your mind. It means you have to use the knowledge that you have that is new to face the fears that are old. And you use your new knowledge to conquer the old fear. In other words, when God gives you a new revelation about who he is and what he can do, you use that information to look at your old self and say, not today, Jack. You cannot come back and dwell in this tabernacle. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. So when God blesses you with a new thing, when he brings you out of a difficult situation, that's information to reverse engineer your mindset so that when you face something difficult again, you say, wait a second, the same God that brought me out of this will be the same God that'll bring me up. Slap your neighbor and say, the same, the same, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Let me close this thing up. You got to face your fears. And in facing your fear, you face that with a new information of what God has done in your life. There are over 2,000 classified fears. And those documented fears run the gamut. And I don't have time to go through them all. My God, there's a photophobia. Fear of never looking good in pictures. Here's one for you. Arachibitriphobia. What? The fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. That's the fun part, dummy. There's phobia, which is the fear of phobia. According to these psychiatrists that put all of these phobias in there, they posit that we are born with only two innate fears. The fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. I appreciate you, buddy, your shout. You're only born with two: falling and loud noise. Faith comes by. I'm preaching, buddy, your shout. So you were born to not fear anything except walking on your own. And hearing. So God gave you parents, I can't get help, to nurture you as you learn to walk on your own. And your parents are the ones saying, go ahead, baby, it's going to be all right. And the baby falls and look back to, because they know they should be afraid. But when the parent says, you're fine, get up and keep walking. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. Slap your neighbor and say, I have no fear, for the Lord is my shepherd. Whom shall I fear? My God, if God be for us, who can be against us? When you try to get up and walk on your own, the Heavenly Father said, get up. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Come on, baby. That means everything else you fear is learned. So if you can learn it, you can unlearn it. You can unlearn being broke. You can unlearn. I am preaching better than y'all. You can unlearn being defeated. You can unlearn being sick. You can slap your name and say, I'm about to unlearn it. I am preaching. How do I learn it? Somebody shout faith. Faith is the prescription for unlearning irrational fears. Faith, watch me now, is allergic to fear. Slap your name and say, you're about to get, come on here, a faith allergy. I ain't got no help in this room. You about to walk out of here allergic to fear. So that when the enemy tries to bring that anxiety and that pressure on you, you're going to look at him and go, I believe God. I trust in the Lord with all my heart, lean not on my own understanding, and all my ways acknowledge him. If God be for me, who can be against me? What can separate me from the love of God? Slap your neighbor and say, get a faith allergy. Get a faith allergy. Get a faith allergy. For I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Slap your neighbor and say, get a faith allergy. Get a faith allergy. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Slap your neighbor and say, come on. Oh my God, that was terrible. Slap your neighbor and say, come on. Build a fear immunity. My God, I feel an anointing. When you discover what you are made of and you realize that God made you fearfully and wonderfully, then there is nothing to fear. He made you with awe and respect. That means when God looks at you, you are awe-inspiring. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the angels are jealous over you because he made you a little lower than the angels, meaning they cannot be you, meaning that you are one of a kind original. There will never be a you on the face of the planet again. You only get one you, and the devil knows that that is the case, that you are the only individual like you that will ever walk the face of the planet. So he's trying to destroy you because only you can do what you were purposed to do. Somebody is waiting for you to discover you are a masterpiece. Is there anybody in here ready to make up their mind that they're going to walk out of here allergic to fear, allergic to defeat, allergic to poverty, allergic to sickness, allergic, I feel an anointing in here. Slap your neighbor and say, I got a faith allergy, baby. Every time trouble comes my way, I will begin to declare, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.